Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents Betches Moms, with hosts Aileen Drexler and Brittany Levine. Get ready to lock yourself in the bathroom or wherever else you hide from your kids, because you'll literally never be alone again.
Hello and welcome to the Betches Moms podcast. I'm Aileen.
And I'm Brittany.
And we're together again. guys, just we're doing more listener questions. Just reminders, you can submit them on DM at Betches Moms. You don't have to email us. You can submit them. It's probably easier there. You can send us your momster situations, your mom guilt situations, your dear Betches Moms, all of that and more at Betches Moms. Also, follow that account if you don't follow, which, like, I don't know where you've been if you don't already follow. But anyway,
I feel like you, if you're listening, like, you can follow if you're not. Weird.
So what's been going on, Brittany?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm back. Well, yesterday I'm back. I took a week off because it's the time between camp and school where Oliver does not have any form of child care. So he's not in school, he's not in camp. So he had 2 weeks off. And I know some people have more than that, which is crazy to me. He starts school tomorrow. So we took a family trip. It was not a vacation. It was a trip to Montauk. This is actually our third summer doing this week in the summer. And it's a nice little tradition that I feel like we've started. And we went with a couple of other families. And it's nice just like chill on the beach. Like, it's nice going there because like you don't have to like get super dressed up. And like everything's kind of just like on the water, and like the kids have like, you know, an area to run around. It's very kid friendly. Although actually, Montauk, I have a bone to pick with you.
Why?
So while you have literally a bajillion families out there with their kids, like doing this like before school family trip, the wait staff and like the hospitality towards children, every single place we went to was horrible. Really? Like, they were pissed that the children were there. And it's like, well, this is, like, a family place. Like,
it was originally a family place.
Like, when I was little, we used to – that's, like, where my family went. Like, it was originally a family place, but now everybody's like, oh, it's, like, this cool bougie place. But, like, it's not. It's a family place. It depends, like, whatever. You're going to, like, Surf Lodge or whatever, yeah. But just, like, we went – I'm not going to name the restaurant because whatever – but we went early. We had to go everywhere early, like 5:30, you know.
Right.
And the waiter comes over and he's like, can I get you guys anything, like water or whatever? And Oliver looks up and he screams, cheeseburger. And like, it was funny, whatever. Like, he wanted a cheeseburger. And he goes, you will not yell at me like that.
And shut up.
Yeah. And Noah and I didn't hear, because we were both like taking whatever. We were just like doing other things, Jack, whatever. And he walked away and we were with two other families and all of our friends were like, did you like see that interaction?
And we oh my God.
No, what happened? They're like, the dude just yelled at your kid.
Oh my God.
And I was like, if he comes back here and says anything, I'm actually going to punch him in the face. Like, that is not okay. I was so heated.
Did you say something?
I didn't. It was for the best, but like if I did hear him, I would have said something. So it was better that I didn't hear, probably.
Right.
But how rude is that?
That's insane. I've never heard anything so insane. I need to know what restaurant.
It was Navy Beach.
Ugh.
And that's like such a kid friendly place. It's on like a little rock beach.
It's not like even a fancy
picnic
place.
Tables. It's not fancy. And I just, it was like horrible.
It's
and that wasn't the only like bad interaction we had. It was just like everywhere. Nobody wanted to deal with kids. Like, I went somewhere for breakfast and I was just like, can I have like a little thing of berries? And she was like, no.
Oh my God.
And then I was like, could you just make sure like the kids' food comes out first? And she was just like, oh, it's all going to just come out at the same time. And I was like, okay.
Oh my God. I mean, I don't think I remember Montauk being like particularly friendly to anybody. Like,
right.
That everyone's just kind of like, I don't want to be here. So, but that's crazy. This guy talks, spoke directly to Oliver.
Spoke directly to Oliver. And that like, is. Oliver had no idea. And I feel really, I like thinking about it, that like I didn't actually say something to him, like kills no. me. But Noah and I were ready. We were ready.
That's so back. Funny. If that happened to me, like I would be, I wouldn't, I probably wouldn't have said something like, because like you, like I would, I didn't want to just bring it up again.
Right.
As if I didn't hear it. But for the next week, I would be stewing mm-hmm. about all of the things that I would be like, I would be fighting with this guy like yes. in my head.
That's exactly what I was doing.
What would you have said? What would you have said?
I would have been like, excuse me, that is not how you talk to my four-year-old son. He is just telling you what he wants to eat. He's not an adult. Like, you don't yell at a child, especially that isn't yours. Now yes. I'm starting to get angry and I'm starting to like really go at it. No,
but that
it.
Is such a thing. Like, you know, when people, you know, like, I'm sure that's not the first time that someone else might like speak sternly to a child. Do you think that that's like, okay, while I'm totally with you, like don't for other people in the situation, do you think that that's like ever called for someone to be like, do not yell at me?
For someone, for a parent to talk back to the other person or for the person to yell at the child?
To say, well, he wasn't yell. He wasn't like, you motherfucker. He was just like, you
are. Being rude.
Being rude. Okay, so do you think that there's ever a scenario where like an adult can say when it's not their child, but not like yell or be rude, be like, please don't speak to me like that. Like if it was like that, do you think that that's an appropriate thing?
No, I don't think that's an appropriate thing. And I think if you have a real issue, then you pull the parent aside and exactly. talk to the parent. I was gonna say, because a kid does not understand.
Right.
As we've totally. Spoken many times to professionals of like how to speak to kids, like they don't know, like whatever. You speak to the parent, you don't speak to the kid like that. That right. is so
you can't take your shit
for.
Out on a child. It's so fucked up. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
I know.
See, I would have guessed a different restaurant, but Navy Beach, I forgot that existed. Anyway, was the food even good?
It was pretty good. We actually ended up going back the second night for like our adults' night.
Okay. That's wild.
Yeah, I know. But like other than that, like it was nice. I mean, there was a lot of tantrums. Jack fell off the bed, got a black eye.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
He fell off the bed and got a black eye.
It was a low bed. It was like a really low bed, but I was changing him. Uh-huh. And he's crazy. Like he leaps. Yeah. Like, I can't change him anymore. I had to get the 360 diapers that go on like pull-ups because I can't actually close diapers on him.
Oh my God.
I was changing him. He literally just like backwards leapt and then like turned over and then like dove forward and I grabbed his foot.
Yeah.
And I like grabbed his foot too late and he hit his head on like there was like a wood frame around the bed. And this was right before bedtime. I was like, oh my God. I was like freaking out. I'm like, how do I tell if he has a concussion? I was like doing all like the concussion tricks to look to see if their pupils are different sizes, if they throw up, if they're acting different. Literally, I was texting my friends. I was like, what do I do? What do I do?
Yeah.
It was fine. But he had a black eye for the rest of the week.
Like an actual black eye?
Yeah. Like he had, I mean, like, yeah, like the side.
Because that's where he hit his face?
Yeah, like the side of his eye.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's okay. So stressful. Mm-hmm. Were you like, Noah, I'm really sorry. I just dropped a child.
He was like, he's fine. Like, this is a situation where Noah's like, he's fine. What are you freaking out about? I'm like, he might have a concussion.
He's going to remember. He's going to know I dropped him on his head.
I'm a bad mom.
No, you're not. I'm sure that happens to like literally everyone. Oh my God, the kids and the squiggling or whatever, or the squirming on the... Ugh. Mila will not... She cries every time she goes on that changing table. She hates it. So she doesn't want to be like pinned down. And it's so crazy because my grandparents were over. They were here still for a week, like in New York for a week after her birthday. And so they came over a bunch. And, you know, I've never noticed how much Mila moves, like doesn't stop moving. Like compared when she's with my grandparents who aren't able to like run after. She's like, I'm so tired.
It's
like there's a lot of energy. And I was like, you're right. She does not sit still. Like there is no just like, let me just sit here and read my book. Like it's just
do this nice stationary activity.
No, there is no. It's just like, oh, cup. Oh, like drumstick. Oh, let me keep trying to get out of my playroom. Oh, let me just crawl. And then like, let me get it, go in the exact place where I'm not supposed to go. Like it's literally nonstop. It's
nonstop.
It's so funny.
It was Miela's first birthday. How did it go?
Yes. Did I not talk about that?
No. We said it was coming up, but we didn't. You didn't tell us how it went.
It went well. It went off pretty hitchless. And
I love the pictures. It looked beautiful. And you did that all yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I was going to like have a party planner, but she was really nice. She just couldn't come day of. And I was just like, you know what? I can just do it. I just need to sort of like make a really detailed list. And I like made one and I was just checking it off and like saying like, okay, I need to find an outfit by this date. I need to like do these things by this. So I wasn't scrambling because I tend to do that. And it went off pretty great. And I was like proud of my decorations that I bought on Amazon.
It looked great.
Yeah, it was like Mila had a great time. She like, you know what, didn't cry. She was just like happy to be with, it was just hot out. That was the only thing.
Yeah.
But she was happy to be with her whole family. And it was like a cute little reunion. Like basically it was like a family reunion on both sides.
Nice. What were those Pop-Tarts?
Oh my God, delish. It was like pie tarts. It was a pie. There was apple pie and cherry pie. But they do all sorts of flavors. Like they had s'mores. It was called Wild Flower, Flour, out Long Island. And the cake was so good. Her cake. So she. I told you I did like a vegan cake for her because of her allergies.
You didn't tell me, but it makes sense that you did.
It's a, vegan cake for her allergies and sensitivities. And she fucking hated it.
Was it good? Did you hate it?
I tried it and it was like, it was sweet. I was like, oh, wow. Mila's trying like real sugar for the first time. Like she's going to love it. She loves to eat. And oh my God, she tried. She put her hand in it and was making like the most disgusted faces as if I gave her like poo. She's like, what is this? Like, ew. And she was crying and I was like, I was just like, all right, well, you eat your beans then instead.
It could be worse. Like, she likes beans.
Yeah, she enjoyed her beans. She did not enjoy her cake. It's fine. It's all great. Anyway, but it was fun. The actual cake, the non-vegan cake, the real cake, no offense to vegans, was absolutely delicious. And they made these cupcakes, and I did, like, a butterfly flower theme. I even made a mood board.
You did? Of course you did.
I did a color.
Well, I don't even know why I said like I was surprised that you did that. Of course you made a mood board.
It really helped me direct the party because I was like, okay, this works. This is the type of like balloons that will go with the cake. With like this is the type of wood chair I need.
But it looked
sounds insane.
So pretty. And even like the flowers were gorgeous. I was like,
thank you. That was part of the same impressed. People, the flower people did the cake. It's like a two-girl duo. And
they do flowers and cakes.
Yeah, one girl does the flowers, one does the desserts. And it was
look
like
into this.
Yeah. It was sweet. But yeah, overall it was great. And then like we were so tired. It took me 24 hours to recover for this day.
It's exhausting.
Exhausting. Yeah. Like, I was so excited that night. You know, she went to bed and then like Game of Thrones, the new Game of Thrones show was on. So
I actually watched it.
You did? As in like you don't watch
Game of Thrones? I don't watch Game of Thrones, but Noah's like, could we please watch it? And I was like, oh, fine.
Were you like not disturbed during that scene?
The whole thing was horrible. Horrible.
I cried. I turned around. It's not for the faint-hearted moms to watch.
Not good. Not good.
But I turned around and like cried and like kind of got really nauseous watching it. But this is kind of the reason why I watch Game of Thrones. I like disturbing shit. So there were a lot of people who were like really pissed off about this scene. And I And I think that's ridiculous because, like, has anyone seen any Game of Thrones episode prior to this? This is, like, benign compared to the shit that they did.
Wait, why were people pissed off?
Because it was disturbing.
I mean, yeah, but like you said, this is Game of Thrones.
It's disturbing. Yeah, and, like, I like
dark shit. It was incredibly disturbing. I, like, almost so threw up. It was bad.
No, same. I turned around. I was tearing and I was throwing. I was, like, gagging. But the thing is, though, like, that is a reality of a time.
Yeah.
That is, like, that actually happened. And we're not going to get into details because it actually is disturbing and I don't want to describe it. So if anybody who watched it knows what we're talking about, great, or maybe not great for you. But, like, also anybody doesn't know, just skip ahead a little. But anyway, yeah, it was a reality of the time. And that's true. Like, it's fucked up.
It's real fucked up. And that's all I was thinking was, like.
But anyway, I was excited to have that to watch at night.
A special treat for Mila's birthday.
Yeah, you know me. But yeah, so I love that. But it took me 24 hours to recover. I was exhausted the next day. I was like, oh my God.
I feel like for, like, when you're making any type of party for anybody, and, like, especially for, like, your kids, like, the excitement of, like, celebrating your kids and just, like, just entertaining, I guess, in general too. Like, even if you're not, like, necessarily doing that much, I feel like you have so much, like, adrenaline pumping through you. And then when it finally dies down, you're like, holy shit, I can't feel my body.
Yeah, I'm ready just to put my legs up. But I wasn't surprising. I was surprisingly not anxious for the party. You know, like, I even was I felt my body, like, checking in with myself being like, be anxious. Why aren't you anxious right now? Like, this is an event. Like, you should be anxious. And I was like, yo, chill. Like,
yo, there's chill anxiety.
Yo, chill. There's something to be anxious about. Like, this, you know, but it's our family. Everyone's coming. They're just going to be happy to be with each other. I mean, there are some, like, family dynamics with, like, my divorced parents, but actually it went off pretty great. And, yeah, I feel like a year ago, I would have been so stressed out about, like, bringing my, like, family members together that, you know, either haven't seen each other due to said divorce or, like, things like that. But
I have a
chill
question.
Vibes, Aileen.
Chill vibes. I like chill vibes, Aileen. I like all of Aileen, but I like chill vibes.
Thank you.
Question for you. And if this is too personal, we don't have to answer it. But I'm curious because I've gone through something similar. So you have divorced parents. I have divorced parents also. And, like, you're the first to have children. So you're the one that had to, like, start this. But were you kind of, did you, like, say to your parents, like, listen, you both want to have a relationship with my daughter. Like, we're not going to, like, separate the family. Like, this is how it's going to be. You guys need to, like, I don't know, maybe they do already. They are already able to be in the same room together. But, like, did you find that there was, like an anxiety behind that of having divorced parents and then having kids that they, like, both always want to be with?
Oh my God. I mean, I never really, like, had, like, a conversation. Maybe I did, but maybe in pieces. Like, it wasn't just like one, let's sit down and discuss this. I mean, my parents aren't, like, it wasn't, like, contentious or anything, but I tend to, surprise, surprise, take on, like, all of the, like, emotions of everyone around me. Right. So, like, I was feeling it for, like, my mom. I was feeling it for my dad's wife at the time. Like, I'm feeling, like, what my mom's mom, grandma must feel towards my, like, I just feel all of the things. So, so early on, like, when, like, a year ago, when I was pregnant, I didn't think about it until one day I was like, wait a minute, they're going to have to be together at one event. And I, like, remember shutting down. I had a panic attack. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, there's no actual drama. It's like, it's all, like, kind of, I'm creating this. Like, I'm putting the drama on a pedestal. And my mother-in-law was like, Aileen, like, it's going to have to happen. So we're just, you know, you can't take it on. And I told my dad that I feel anxious about this. And I've told my mom. And they're just like, it's not on you to feel this way. Like, we can be court, like, but I still couldn't help myself. But then my brother graduated college. He's 10 years younger than me. And so, oh my God, So we all went there. And that was the first time that everybody was kind of together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was so happy that it wasn't on me. No, and I told my brother, I was like, I'm so glad this is not me. This is you, selfishly. But actually, people kind of got along. And I was so surprised. And I was like, oh, maybe this like doesn't have to be as dramatic. Right. As I make it out to be, or made it out to be in my head. And so, yeah, So basically, yes, the answer is yes, totally. I was really, really anxious about it for like a while. Mm-hmm. And my dad moved away. So it was like moved to Florida. So it has been a little bit more like, I didn't have to deal with so many situations.
Right.
But before they moved, it was like, my mom would be like, hey, can I come over this weekend? I'm like, well, my dad's coming. And then I was just, you know that feeling where you're like.
Yes, all the time. I mean, like.
How is it for you?
No, I mean, my sister had kids before me. So she was kind of like
she was a guinea pig.
Yeah, she was completely the guinea pig. But I feel like all of this started with like weddings. And then it was like. And it was very rocky. And now it's like we do holidays with both my parents.
Yeah.
And like they're both remarried. And like there's definitely tension. And like there are times where like, you know, we still have to deal with like the stupidness of whatever. But like they get along and like it's totally fine. And you know what? There's now seven grandchildren.
That's crazy.
And it's crazy. And it's just they know like, we don't want to forfeit our time with the kids during holidays. And we can't, like, especially when you're married, you can't just keep hopping around when everybody lives 10 minutes away, you know, mm-hmm. to all these different family members. It's exhausting. And it's like at some point, everybody needs to be okay with being in the same room. And mm-hmm. it's funny though, because I always think, like, you know, my parents, but like if anybody else thinks like this, do people, like, when they're getting divorced, do they think how it's going to affect them literally their entire life? It's not just, oh, I feel like my kids, like I feel bad for my kids, like blah, blah. No, like you literally need to deal with this your entire life, like with grandkids and great grandkids, and like it's never ending. And I kind of feel like, and I always think about this, like, was this a thought in my parents' head when they got divorced that they would now have to deal with what goes on when they had grandkids? It's just like, I don't know, I think.
Right, there's like so many like just trickling down consequences that trickle down like generationally. But I mean, I assume somebody thought about the fact that it affects children. Like I think so.
Your own children, but not as
your
deep
own children.
As
you don't think
grandchildren.
Your children's children.
Yeah.
And like your relationship, and that is something that you have to kind of give up as, but that is the that is like the decision that they do make is like, I'm gonna make this decision for me. And in some ways, it'll be better for my kids and my kids' kids.
Of course, every situation is different. And like,
I'm sure there's plenty of parents who didn't think about anything.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But it's like so interesting to me. Like, I always just like think about like, because you know, you don't like talk to your parents like friends in that, or at least I don't, where like we talk about like divorce and like all of that, but like what made them think this and whatever.
I know. It is why I think about this a lot, like not because of my own situation, but like I see celebrities getting divorced after and they all have children. You just see these types of announcements all the time. You see like Olivia Wilde and Jason Sudeikis with like this public divorce and like their custody thing. Yeah. You just like see it a lot. And like I do, and it's almost normalized that like people just get divorced and the kids will deal.
Right.
But like, do they deal? Like, how do they deal? Like my parents got divorced when I was like 20. I was older.
Same. I was 18.
Oh yeah. Well, that's still kind of young. But you were leaving the house at least.
I was in college. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was out of college.
Yeah.
And I even then, like, I remember like trying to process it and people telling me, look, you're an adult. I'm like, yeah, but my whole life is now affected.
It's so different. It's so different.
And it's my whole childhood memories are affected. Like, and my children's, you know, it's like, it's all affected. But if things are amicable and like they get remarried, it just takes so much time things to settle.
Yeah. A lot of time.
Yeah. But it's
crazy. And then do you think, we're getting like deep here, but like now it's like my gears are turning. Do you feel like because you're a product of a divorced parents that you're less likely to resort to divorce because of what you went through? I think about this.
I don't think I'm less likely. I think if, not that I think that I will get a divorce. I'm just saying I think that it makes you more likely.
But I think I feel I would be less likely because I don't ever want to deal with that on the other end.
Right. I would not that I think that I'm more likely, but I think that one would be more likely because it's something that did happen and it's sort of something that they have been exposed to. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if there's research about this. I'm sure there is about like children of divorced parents. Are they more or less likely to get divorced? I'd love to look that up. I mean, it makes me want to understand what went wrong and how can I prevent that?
Yeah.
But there's so many factors in like a marriage and like time and like, and how children affect your relationship. That's why that episode with Naomi, I thought was Dr. Naomi was like so
it was great. Amazing.
It was just like little snippets of insight about like how important your marriage is with respect to your family, mm-hmm. obviously, but like your family dynamics with children and stuff. Like while divorce is technically an option, it really does affect your whole future. And of course, I don't want to like make anybody feel bad who is listening and is divorced. Because like people just got to do what they got to do. But obviously it affects kids.
Yeah. And I think also we're just talking about it from like being products of divorce, like how we now feel about it. Like, and every situation is different. Like you have, like there's no choice sometimes. But just speaking from a perspective of like being on the side of the child and just how it's just interesting how I always think about what my parents were thinking and how they thought this would play out.
Right.
How did you think this was going to play out? Do you think this was a good idea?
That's a good question. I'm going to ask them, actually. I don't really ask that. Do you ask your parents about, like, their relationship?
No.
I, like, never.
Never. Ever.
Never.
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know. Don't tell me.
No,
I want to pretend it never happened.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Oh, but anyway. This is a great conversation.
Yeah, right.
It was spontaneous.
Yeah.
I'm sure like so many people are listening because like divorce is so common and there's so many different like ways in which it can happen early on. Or so many people that you see, like Lala Kent, she was on the show, mm-hmm. broke up with her, with Randall. Is that
Randall,
her name?
Randall, yeah.
I was about to say Randy.
Rand.
Randall. Like when her baby's one, like mm-hmm. that's really early. She doesn't, mm-hmm. won't remember a relationship with her parents ever had.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that could be totally different. Whereas like where we're saying we were basically adults, like technically adults, even though we didn't feel that way.
Yeah.
Like how that's so different. Like it's just very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like I feel like when my parents separated, me being a quote-unquote adult, they felt like they were doing better for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, oh, we spent our whole childhood with parents who were together. But is it really better the other way around? Because you don't know.
Yeah. I would say, like, if I were them, I would understand the logic behind let's wait till the kids are out of the house. Because, well, technically your younger sister wouldn't be out of the house, right?
She was not.
So they
she got the brunt of it for sure.
They're like, man, I can't wait for her. But I would understand the logic of it because it definitely is like a big upheaval. And I think that the most important thing for when you're doing that is like really communicating with your kids, being open to therapy. And because not a lot of parents, not parents of our generation, our parents' generation, I mean, are.
No.
and just like really communicating that it's A, not the kid's fault, and B, that like nothing is going to change, even though, or no, rather things are going to change, but doesn't mean that it's bad. And it's just like a big life shift.
Yeah.
It's probably like really intense for a younger kid to go through who's not developed, but
right.
If done with like the help of a professional, I think it can be done well.
Yeah, of course. Of course. It's just something I think about from like the perspective of being like an adult and now my parent, and like, you know, it's still dealing
and
with
now it. You're the
yeah.
mom with the kids.
Yeah, and like having to parent your own parents in this situation. That's what happens.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
It really is.
The parenting your own parents is such a thing. Uh-huh. Like the comments, like I'll say to my mom or my dad, but like I'll just say certain things that I have learned over time and just be like, where did you get this? I'm like, and I'm like trying to help her self-esteem. Like things like that, you know, is not accustomed to.
Right.
Or like was not accustomed, but exposed to, like, you know. And it's just so, I don't know.
It's such a different experience. Because you think about like the amount of information that we're exposed to, but then yeah. the amount of information that our kids are going to be, are exposed to at a much earlier age.
Right.
They're going to be so much smarter than us. They already are.
All right, let's get to our listener questions, and then we have an email. Let's do our listener questions in a fast round, even though we never listen to ourselves when we say that. We go into extreme depth into every single question. We have like sort of pregnancy-themed questions, and also our email is pregnancy-themed. So let's get to it. What's the first question?
How long did your morning sickness last? If you had any.
It was wild. and I think it lasted like past the first trimester, probably like 18, 17, 15, 16 weeks maybe. How long is it supposed to last? Like they say 12.
They like say 12, but it depends. I think everybody's different. I have friends that it lasted the whole pregnancy. I have friends that lasted 5 months. You know, you could talk to your doctor though about solutions for that.
Yeah, yes, which I did. It was really intense. I was puking almost every day, but not for the whole. It wasn't like hyperemesis, hyperemesis. I don't know how to say it, whatever. Just you guys know what I'm talking about. I took vitamin B6, and I took like one of the. Unisom has two different, it's weird, it has the same name, but it's two different formulas. One of them is okay for pregnancy, safe for pregnancy, or don't quote me, go to your doctor. My doctor told me it was safe for pregnancy, and I took them together, and I slept better. I didn't have like sickness while I was sleeping because it was really hard to fall asleep. At night, especially, oh my God. And all I fucking wanted to eat was English muffins and bagels.
I remember that. Carbs galore.
And the smell of the refrigerator, I can still smell it to this day.
My worst thing was that it happened in my house too, because your sense of smell is like crazy strong. But when I was pregnant with Oliver, we were living in an apartment and Noah, like, loved at the time Brussels sprouts, and he would make them all the time and would stink up my apartment.
So rude.
To the point where I'd want to vomit, and he didn't understand, like he thought I was being dramatic because he always thinks I'm being dramatic. It's annoying, but he made me so ill making Brussels sprouts in my house. That was the worst.
That is so inconsiderate. Like Brussels sprouts smell like farts, and especially when they're like boiled.
Oh my God. Like literally, I will never be okay with that situation.
No. Ugh. It's just like a cabbage. It's just like a small cabbage.
It is. They're cute.
They're cute when they're like completely fried and don't taste like a Brussels sprout.
Oh my God.
And like have like delicious Asian sauce. Like that's when it's delicious.
Bacon in it.
It's not my favorite, but yeah, I love it. All right, next question. How is postpartum healing supposed to feel week by week? What are normal symptoms? Example, night sweats, stronger body odor. Postpartum healing.
I feel like, I mean, everybody's different. Like, you're never going to have, like, a what's supposed to be. But what my personal experience, it was much harder for me with Oliver because I had a much more intense delivery with Oliver. And it took me a really long time to heal. In terms of, like, hormonal changes, like, with both of my kids, I had night sweats, you know, all, like, all the things. I had more intense I think with both of them, I had PPA and PPD. So, like, I think everybody's just different.
Yeah. I don't know how it's supposed to feel week by week. I mean, ideally, I wouldn't say that it's, like, very, like, linear. Like, it doesn't go just, like, it's hard in the beginning and it just gets easier. I think, like, a lot of the times it's up and down a bit. Like, some days are easier. Some days are much harder. And, like, physically, it depends on the type of delivery you did, but doing a vaginal delivery, I remember it hurt for a longer time, so much so that I called my doctor to ask, like, what's going on. Like, I'm waddling still, mm-hmm. like, way later than I was supposed to, and it was, like, really hurt. And it hurt so much more towards the end of the day. Like, by the end of the day, I was like, I can't stand.
Yeah.
And I called my doctor and she's like, oh, maybe, like, you can make an appointment. And so I obviously, it got better like 2 days later.
Right, of course. Obviously.
But obviously after I make it like a whole thing. And yeah, I remember that was like specific. And it also depends what you're doing with feeding, because that's a whole thing, or it could not be a whole thing. So it's very individual.
Yeah.
And specific to you and your process, but I can't remember night sweats.
I remember night, like, sweats so bad. Oh my God.
My uterus was contracting. So, like, there would be like that feeling.
Yeah. The contract. And apparently, so I've heard, I don't know if this is like a myth or not, but I will say that this is true for me. The uterus contracting back is worse with each child. And it was definitely worse with Jack than it was
like
with
it hurt her. More, like the cramps were worse.
Yeah. So, like, when your uterus contracts back, it feels like a contraction and they're not fun.
Oh God. I just remember when, like, I went to my 6 week appointment. So I was like, oh, I think I told the story. I was like, oh, is my uterus like still contracting? Like, is my stomach going to, like, you know, keep reducing? She's like, no, this is pretty much it.
You didn't tell me that.
And I was like, oh, so I literally go, oh, so, like, this is just my body.
So this is my present.
This is just me. And she's like, yep.
Cool. You did not tell me. That's really
cool, doc. Cool. But anyway, okay, going to the next question, okay. Which I guess this is the same. This goes into that topic. What can I do to reject bounce back culture and embrace my post-baby body?
I feel like we've done, like, so many episodes on this and, like, talking about, like, if you go back into, like, us literally going, I mean, we're still going through that, but, like, literally, like, first going through it and, like, how we felt about it. And, like, I think it's just ignoring, just like remembering that not everybody's the same, and like ignoring what you see on social media. If it makes you feel bad, don't watch it and go at your own pace. And not everybody is the same, like with every other thing. Like,
yeah, you don't even have to like do anything. I would say I would just like give yourself time.
Yeah.
Yeah, the social media thing and comparing is really just the worst. I think, like, try to just continue, like, put a mantra in your head, like, I am not her. We are different. And we have different bodies, and that just is what it is. Like, it doesn't have to be good. It doesn't have to be bad. It just, like, is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my own path. Like, and also reject the whole 9 months in, 9 months out, that bullshit. It takes time. It takes time. And all you want to do is for it to like go as fast as possible. But you have to remember that it just takes time, and it may not even like come back. Your body, I mean, I get the natural desire to want to have the same body you had before you had a kid. But like, and I think about this a lot, but like sometimes, but this is the sacrifice that you make to have the child, your child, just one of them. And it is what it is.
And I feel like it took me, like, I would be, I think at like whatever point, like 9 months, whatever it was. And I was like, oh, I still have these like stretch marks and like my stomach is gross and whatever. And my sisters would be like, you just had a baby. And I'm like, no, but like at this point with Oliver, like I didn't look like this. And they're like, but you just had a baby. And like now even being 15 months out, I look different than I did 9 months out. And so your body does continue to change. So it's just like you can't expect it to be a certain way. And it's just it's hard. It is hard with society and culture, but like you have to just I think the mantra that you gave is actually very helpful.
Yeah, it just it's hard. Like you just like want to put all this pressure on yourself, but like that it never helps. No. Just like small changes. If you want to do something actively, too. But she didn't even ask that. She just says, "How do I reject it?" So that's how you reject it.
If out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, out of sight, out of mind. You're on your own journey. You have your own body.
Yeah.
Be nice to your body. It's the only like why be just like poor body, like it's just, you know, just be nice to it, like it's just along for the ride, like like it's just here, like trying to help out. It doesn't leave, it just like chills with you, and it just be nice to her. You know, like it's hard, but try. All right, should we do email?
Let's do the email.
Okay.
Hi, I'm a big fan of the podcast and loved how the Betches brand has grown as their fans have. Anyway, I would love to hear your experience about the first few weeks of pregnancy. I found this time to be really hard, and not because of the symptoms. Nobody talks about the waiting time between your pregnancy test and when you finally get to see the doctor and have that ultrasound. The unknown is so stressful, and debating whether or not to tell people early is also pretty tough. How did you navigate this weird time in your first trimester? Sincerely, a Betch with a bun in the oven. Well, Betch with a bun in the oven.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That anxiety.
There's a lot of anxiety. And I think me and my friends were recently talking about this. And it's just like, I think, and we've spoken about this before on the podcast. I think that like you have to do what's comfortable. I think there's, you know, people are superstitious about saying something. I think my personal opinion is, if you have a select group of people, whether it's friends or family, that God forbid something were to happen, you would want them to know that you were going through this, and you would want the support from them if you were going through something, then there's no harm in telling them when you're pregnant, when you find out in that first trimester.
Mm-hmm. Even when you find out you're pregnant and you haven't seen a doctor yet, if there is someone who can tell, who you like feel, just like even one person, I think that I agree. It's helpful. I remember I told my parents and Rusty's parents right away. Like we FaceTimed them with a pregnancy stick on FaceTime. But I didn't tell anybody else until I went to the doctor. But the waiting time is really difficult. And then the waiting time between each appointment until you feel the baby was almost worse. Like I felt that time, because it was like the longer you were pregnant for, the more you were scared to lose it. So like that, and but you still didn't feel it. So you were just like, I remember just waiting for each appointment, like edge of my seat, like praying that everything would go okay. And then like, I would feel so relieved after that appointment. And then it would like almost the next day restart again. I was like, oh, like, I wish I had, like, an at-home thing. Like, I'm sure everybody Googles the at-home ultrasound thing. But then I've heard so much advice that, like, don't do that to yourself. It's just more anxiety. Just, you know, like, try to just stay sane.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's definitely challenging.
It is. And it's, you know, if you, I don't think you need to listen to anybody. I think you do whatever you want to do. If you want to tell people, you could tell people. There's no rule behind it.
There's no rule, but know that, you know, the chances of miscarriage are the highest in the first trimester. So like with that information, tell who you, like you said, Brittany, like tell who you feel comfortable sharing both pieces of potential information, you know? Right. Not to get like morbid, but like that's just like a reality that we all face. And I personally, like, I know, you know, and we talked about this, I want to have a second kid eventually, and I'm scared about, like, you know, the longer I wait, the older I am, the more chance, the chance increases to, how do I factor that in to like my timeline? And it just, I'm nervous that like my anxiety for the second one's going to be so much worse. I'm hoping not, but oh boy.
It's hard to say. I feel like I actually had more anxiety with my second because I knew more. You know why? Because I was running the Instagram account, Moms. So yeah. I was hearing a lot of stories. We were doing podcast, so we were talking about a lot of things. Whereas, like, I'm the type of person, if something, like, scares me or gives me anxiety, I stay away from it, and I did that with Oliver. So, like, with Jack, I was, like, fully submerged into all things mom and pregnancy.
Yeah, I hear that. It definitely was, like, overload of info. But
yeah.
Sometimes info is good. Sometimes too much is good. All right. Well, I think that's our show. What do you think?
That's our show. I really enjoyed all of our different conversations, and I hope you did too.
I did as well. And everyone, please come back next week. We have a little bit of an announcement next week. So come back, listen to the show. In the meantime, go follow at Betches Moms on Instagram. And, you know, you can subscribe to the show. I'm at Aileen. Brittany is at @its_Brittany_Lev. And remember, there are no rules on this podcast. I'm not like a regular mom.
I'm a cool mom, right, Regina?
Please stop talking.
The Betches Moms podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Stacey Wong. Social media by Brittany Levine. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow us at Betches Moms on Instagram and send us your emails to moms@betches.com. Betches.